We'll turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, we want to continue the study concerning the gospel of the kingdom versus the gospel of the grace of God. And I want to talk to you about the fall of Israel, or rather I want to bear out the fact that through the fall of Israel, salvation came rather than through their rise. In Romans chapter 11, verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them, and then that's Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, the two words fall in verse 11 are different words, different Greek words. In fact, the word fall, the second word fall in verse 11, in other words, through their fall, salvation has come of the Gentiles. The word is translated in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, and Romans 5:15, as offense. The word is translated trespass in 2 Corinthians 5:19. The word is translated sin in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. The word is translated fault in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Through their offense, through their sin, through their trespass, through their fault, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Then the word fall, as it is used the first time in verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? That word there has to do with the idea of stumbling on something and falling down and maybe eventually going on or whatever. It would be like, in other words, the two cases would be like, an individual who is marching in rank, and maybe he falls and gets up and tries again. But the other word would be like the individual falls and he never gets up again. In fact, he's dead. It would be like that they're in ranks, though. For instance, men marching in ranks, and they're facing machine gun fire, we'll say. And the first rank is mowed down. The others keep going. Then they're mowed down, and then the others keep going. In other words, the idea being that starting on the day of Pentecost, a message is preached to Israel. Then the message is preached in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and on and on. Then Paul begins going into the outer areas out there, and he's preaching and on and on. And through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles. In other words, as they fall, though, then there are Gentiles that come in. The fall of Israel, Gentiles come in. Fall of Israel, Gentiles come in. But not all of Israel fell down the same day. Not all of them are destroyed the same day. Not all of them blaspheme at the same time. Jesus said, you remember last week we were talking about it, Jesus said, he that speaketh a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. All right, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost during the book of Acts, under the preaching of Peter and James and John, under the preaching of Stephen, under the preaching of Paul and Barnabas and so forth. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and by that blasphemy they fell, and they fell different groups at different times until finally in Acts chapter 28, for the last time, Paul said, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, through their fall, salvation came to the Gentiles, rather than through their rise. Now, the message, though, of the gospel of the kingdom has nothing to do with their fall. The message of the gospel of the kingdom is to cause them to rise, is to bring repentance unto them. And so that message has been given to Peter, James, and John. It's been given to the apostles. They've been trained to preach that message, and that's the message that we're discussing. Now, I want you to go back in your Bible with me, please, and look at Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 8. In Isaiah chapter 8, in Isaiah 8, verse 9, associate yourselves, O ye people, and you shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, it shall come to naught. Speak the word, it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear you their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. In other words, the Lord of hosts there is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord of hosts of the Old Testament is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. All right. Then he's there to sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. In other words, set him apart unto themselves and fear him. Fear the Lord. Walk in his ways and whatever. They were to follow the Lord. The Lord trained 12 men, and these 12 men are to follow the Lord. All right. Then verse 13 again. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. That is, to you that fear him, you that walk according to his teaching and whatever, he'll be for you a sanctuary. But for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken, be snared, and be taken. Now, there isn't any doubt in my mind that this context is about the first coming of Jesus Christ. It's not about the second coming. It's about his first coming as he taught those 12. He is the stone. He's the stone of stumbling unto them. Turn your Bible, please, to Matthew. And look in the book of Matthew to chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, as we're reading in Isaiah, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, he's talking to Israel now, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, you as a nation, you the leaders of Israel. It is obvious that that's the ones to whom he's speaking. Look back in verse 23. When he was come unto the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, so forth and so on. All right, then he's talking to the chief priests, he's talking to the elders of the people and whatever. Now he said in verse 43, the kingdom of God should be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And there's no doubt about the Lord being the stone and the doctrine of the Lord and so forth. Now, he said, the kingdom of God will be taken from you, the leaders in Israel. You're the ones that's under control. You're the ones that's leaders today. The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation. Turn, please, to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12. In Luke 12, verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore say I unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Verse 24, consider the ravens, be like them, God takes care of them, will take care of you. Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow, God clothes them, he clothes you, and on. Now look in verse 32. Fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms and on, and that's exactly what they did. In Acts chapter 2, they sold out everything. Acts chapter 4, they sold out everything, and they laid it down the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto all people as they had need. All I'm trying to do is to show you that the kingdom was being taken away from the nation Israel and given to a nation, and that nation begins with the 12 apostles. Now, I'm trying to identify the fact that Isaiah chapter 8 is the first coming of the Lord. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, I know I'm on solid ground. Go back with me to Isaiah chapter 8. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Jesus Christ is the stone, Jesus Christ is the rock. Verse 14, he shall be for a sanctuary, that is for you that believe on him. But for a rock of stumbling, for a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gem and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, many among them shall stumble and shall fall and be broken, be snared and be taken. And they were. Now, on the board up here, I'm going to say this is the coming of Lord Jesus Christ in his baptism here. I've come across over here to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, they blasphemed. And Jesus said, if you speak a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. You speak against the Holy Ghost, it won't be forgiven you, neither in this world nor that which is to come. As he hung upon the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. All right? They have a renewed opportunity for repentance and salvation after his death on Calvary. Now, from Matthew chapter 12, he told them, you're not to tell any man that I'm the Christ. And from there on, he's teaching them about what he's going to do. He's going to die. He's going to ascend up to heaven, and on and on. He tells them that I'm going away. John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, all those passages along there is very clear on these things. All right, so Jesus Christ dies. He's buried. He rises from the dead. He spends 40 days teaching the apostles concerning the kingdom of God. He said in Matthew, where we're reading, to the teachers and elders in Israel, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruit. Luke chapter 12, he said, little flock, it's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, then I know that during the 40 days before he ascended up, then he's teaching them concerning that kingdom. He's teaching them concerning the kingdom of God and concerning the fact that they are a nation and whatever, and their ministry was to be carried on. All right, so he ascends up into heaven, sends the Holy Spirit back upon them, and by the Holy Ghost they begin to preach. But Israel begins to speak against those things and reject the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaches unto them. They blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And on and on. Then Paul begins to preach. Paul preaches in Acts chapter 13, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and he said, we turn to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 18 at Corinth, he preached unto them, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost, he said, we turn to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 19, he preached in the synagogue at Ephesus, they spoke evil of that way, and he turned away from them. On and on this happens until Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28 in Rome, for the last time, he preached unto those Jews, and they blasphemed, they turned away. He said, you count yourselves unworthy. The fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 6 is brought to pass this day. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles, and that's the last time. What am I saying? I'm saying that from Acts chapter 2 all the way through Acts chapter 28, the fall of Israel is taking place rather than their rise. But I'm saying to you that the gospel of the kingdom, which is preached by Peter, James, and John, is preached over there with the idea of establishing the kingdom, even knowing that the kingdom is not going to be established yet. Israel must be given the opportunity of repentance. Why? Because God blinded them so they'd crucify the Son of God. Having blinded them, God in all his righteousness and holiness and his justice and all that gives them the opportunity of salvation after they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back in Isaiah chapter 8. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Now, I'm saying unto you that the disciples of verse 16 are the 12 apostles. I'm saying that they are the children of verse 18. Now, in John alone, the word disciple is used 46 times in reference to the 12 apostles. Turn in your Bible, please, and look in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew 11. In Matthew 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, There are 12 disciples that are separated from all the other disciples. Look in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6. In Luke 6 verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. You understand then, all disciples are not apostles, but all apostles are disciples. The name is interchangeable between them. Peter is a disciple. Peter is also an apostle. So is John. So are the 12. Now, 46 times in the book of John, the apostles are referred to as disciples. So I'm saying unto you that Isaiah 8 verse 16 is a prophecy of the 12 apostles called disciples. Now in verse 17, Isaiah 8 verse 17, and I will wait upon the Lord. All right, then it has to do with a time when the Lord is gone away. Hold on to the passage and turn to the book of John. Look in John chapter 14. In John 14. All right, in John 14 verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide for you with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. And on and on. Now the point is, and there are other passages that bear out this fact, that he's going to go away. Go to chapter 16. In chapter 16, verse 15. All things that the Father hath a mind, therefore said I, that he shall take a mind, shall show it unto you. A little while, you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father. And on and on. Now go back to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. All right, the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected by Israel personally. They crucified him on Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ has hidden his face from them. He's gone up. He's gone on exile. And these people are to wait for him. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 8 is stated by the Lord again in John where we were reading. But that isn't all. Notice in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, there is a type there. In Acts 13 verse 6, when they'd gone through the aisle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, which is a type of the nation Israel, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now notice, he's a type of Israel, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. In John chapter 8, Jesus Christ said unto them, you are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. All right, verse 10. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways, O Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind. Blindness has happened in part to Israel, according to Romans 11, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. They're blind, and they can't see. All right, verse 11. The hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun, type of the Lord Jesus Christ, for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. He went about seeking some to lead him by the hand, and went then the deputy, when he saw what was done. That is, he saw the blindness of that Jew. He believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Therefore, it is imperative that we teach people the fall of Israel, that we show people that salvation came to the Gentiles, not through the rise of Israel, but through the fall of Israel. And just as this Gentile here, this deputy here, saw salvation through the fall of Israel, so Gentiles today can see salvation through the fall of Israel. But the church today is not preaching the fall of Israel. It's preaching that the church itself is the rise of Israel, and that is heresy and false doctrine. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the children whom the Lord hath given me. Turn, please, to John, and look in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13. John 13:31. Therefore, when he was gone out, that is Judas Iscariot, left the upper room, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. Now he calls them little children. He calls them little children in view of his going away. Wherever he's going, Israel as a nation couldn't come. And he's telling them at that point, neither can they. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Behold, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the children, 12 apostles, whom the Lord hath given me. Turn to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, verse 2, John 17, 2, As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Come to verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. Come down to verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Come to verse 11 and look in the middle of the verse. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me. Come to verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Seven times he refers to the 12 apostles as having been given him by God the Father. And he gave eternal life to them that God the Father gave him. Go back, please, to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 26. John 10, 26. But you, as a nation, he's referring to, believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, there's the apostles, and I know them, and they follow me. The 12 followed Jesus Christ. Hold of the passage and go to Matthew chapter 19. It is unmistakable. In Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew 19, 27. Matthew 19, 27. Then answered Peter and said unto them, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I know that Judas is excluded in the passage. And I know that Matthias is there all the time. Now turn to Acts, please, and look in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1. In Acts 1, verse 16, Peter said, Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David before concerning Judas, which was guided to them and took Jesus, for he was numbered with us, and obtained part of his ministry. Now this man purchased a field, isn't that another? Come down to verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And of course, Matthias is the man. Go back to John chapter 10 again with me, please. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That is 12 apostles. It is undeniable. It is unmistakable to anybody that believes the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it. And you couldn't put the church, the body of Christ, in the passage. If you tried to squeeze it in there, you couldn't get it in there. It has nothing to do with a prophecy of the church, the body of Christ. It has to do with Israel, a new nation. It has to do with the 12 apostles, and the 12 apostles make up a nation, the beginning of a nation, and the ones that are going to bring that nation as it begins to rise. Turn back with me to Isaiah 8 again. In Isaiah 8, and look in verse 18. Behold, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the children, 12 apostles, whom the Lord hath given me, God gave them to Jesus, are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. In other words, Jesus Christ came and he died. Jesus Christ trained the 12. Jesus Christ went up on high. Jesus Christ sent his Spirit back upon the 12. And Jesus Christ, while he sits up there on high, gives the apostles, he sends them forth by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. In other words, they are representing Jesus Christ unto Israel. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is the spokesman for the Lord, just as Aaron is the spokesman for Moses. Turn, please, to Hebrews and look in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man, Jesus Christ, this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. All right, on the one side over there then, there is Moses. In other words, over here, Moses is called by God, and Moses tells the people to offer a blood sacrifice. So I'll put over here Moses. On this side over here, I'll put Jesus. Moses over here trains some people. Jesus here trains some people. Moses here has a house. Jesus here has a house. Moses' house is sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' house is sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. Moses' house over here is baptized unto Moses. Jesus' house is baptized unto Jesus. Moses' house is baptized in the sea and in the cloud. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Jesus' house is baptized with the baptism of repentance. Moses' house leaves everything they got, sell out, and go out into the wilderness. Jesus' house sell out everything they got, depend upon the Lord, and go out, as it were, into the wilderness. Moses' house is persecuted. Jesus' house is persecuted. Moses' house is on their way to an inheritance in the land. Jesus' house is on their way unto an inheritance in the land. But that is of all. Notice the leaders, if you will, please. Turn back with me to Exodus. And look in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech, out of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the... On and on. Verse 12, Now therefore go, I'll be with thy mouth, teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? And by the way, the anger of the Lord was kindled against his son Jesus Christ. He became sin for us, and God turned his back upon him. In verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. When he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth. I will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. He shall be to thee instead of a mouth. Thou shalt be to him instead of God. That is unmistakable. Moses represents God to the people. Aaron is the prophet. Aaron is the spokesman. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And Peter is the spokesman on the day of Pentecost. And that is unmistakable. The likeness of Aaron with Peter is unmistakable as the likeness of Moses with the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was a proper child. Jesus is a proper child. Moses would have been killed except for his people taking care of him and hiding him out. Jesus would have been killed by the enemy except his people took care of him and hid him out. Moses went away on exile. Jesus went away on exile. Moses came back into the land. Jesus came back into the land. Moses came in and led the children of Israel. Jesus Christ came in and led the children of Israel. On and on and on. How can you miss it if you believe the Bible? Now, go back in your Bible with me, and this time to Acts. And look in the book of Acts, chapter 1 again. In Acts chapter 1. Now there are 12 apostles here. In Acts chapter 1, verse 24. I'm sorry, 23. They appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Well, if he's numbered with the 11, then 1 and 11 make 12. Now, there ain't no need for people to fuss and fume and argue about it. There are 12 apostles there. Matthias is an apostle. And Matthias is not a 13th apostle. Matthias is one of the 12. He's there in Matthew chapter 19. He's there in John chapter 10. Matthias is and was an apostle all the time. Yet, the others had not known it at that time. They did not know it until this day that we're reading in Acts chapter 1. Now in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who are they? Go back to chapter 1 again, please. In chapter 1, verse 1, The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He chose them in Luke chapter 6, verse 13. He chose them out of the disciples, and he called them apostles. Verse 13, To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. There is no mistaking it. Judas Iscariot cannot be included because he did not show himself alive after his death. He did not show himself unto Judas Iscariot after his crucifixion. Therefore, Judas cannot be one of the apostles whom he had chosen of verse 2, and that is unmistakable. Now, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. But that is not all. Paul cannot be included. There is no indication that Paul ever saw him until his ascension into heaven. There is no way that anybody could take a King James Bible and prove that the Apostle Paul ever saw the Lord Jesus Christ physically until he saw him in glory. Yet the 12 saw him. Turn please to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15:5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Judas cannot be included, nor Paul. Verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Why, he saw him in Acts chapter 9 for the first time. Therefore, Paul cannot be included in the 12 apostles of Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I cannot for the life of me understand how M.R. DeHaan missed that thing. I heard M.R. DeHaan years ago preach four Sundays trying to prove that Matthias was one of the 12. I cannot understand how a great man of God as M.R. DeHaan could have missed the truth of Matthew 19, John 10, John 14, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 15. He would have had to have closed his eyes, hardened his heart, stopped up his ears, and refused to see and hear the truth. And so is it with you if you believe that Paul is this apostle here. In verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 6, when they therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, without this time restore again the kingdom to Israel. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Verse 8, but you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as it went up. Two men stood by them in white. Verse 11, which said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. Verse 13, when they were come in, they went into an upper room, where abode Peter, James, John, and on. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst, and on. Now, once again please, verse 26, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost is fully come, they, who is they? The 12. Look in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, there is no doubt about it, it is the 12 apostles that get the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Not 120, not 500, no women baptized with the Holy Ghost, only 12 men. Why? Because the Lord had given them to Jesus, and Jesus had trained them, and Jesus had prepared them, and Jesus sent them forth with a message, and Jesus sent his Spirit on them and empowered them by the Spirit of God for them to go forth and preach that message that they had been prepared to preach. That is unmistakable. It is not the gospel of the grace of God. It is the gospel of the kingdom. It is the same gospel of Matthew chapter 24. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And in Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's the gospel of the kingdom, and Peter begins to preach it in Acts chapter 2. That is unmistakable. But again, Acts chapter 2, verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. That is, the sound filled the house. Verse 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews on and on. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? The apostles are Galileans. The ones that spoke are Galileans. The 12 are Galileans. Judas was not a Galilean. Paul is not a Galilean. These are Galileans. The only ones that received the Holy Ghost and that spoke in Acts chapter 2 are Galileans. They're the apostles. That is clear. But that isn't all. Come down to verse 12. They were all amazed, the crowds around there, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Not these men and women, not these people, these men are full of new wine. Who are those men? They're Galileans. What is their position? They're apostles. They've been trained by Jesus and sent forth, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and given a commission, and that commission is to carry the gospel of the kingdom. That is clear. But that isn't all. Turn, please, to verse 36. Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now why say, men and brethren, speaking to the apostles? Why not speak to the 120? If the 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost, if there were women filled with the Holy Ghost, if there were women prophesying, if there were women preaching, if there were women teaching, if there were women with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and on, why say unto the apostles, men and brethren? I'll tell you why. Because the only ones speaking at that time were the apostles. The apostles spoke in the language of the people where they had been raised up. They had come back to Jerusalem for the feast day, and Peter preached to them there, and Peter and the others spoke in the languages of those people wherein they had been raised. Why? Because God gave them the ability. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They have been baptized, as in Acts 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, just as in Matthew 24, Mark 16, Luke 24. There is no doubt about it. The message in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth is the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the circumcision. It's repent and be baptized for remission of sins. It is not Jesus Christ died for our sins. It is not Jesus Christ, justification through Jesus Christ, having died for your sins on Calvary and risen again. It is repentance. Believe that he's the Messiah, the Son of God, and be identified in water baptism, looking unto remission of sins, when the Deliverer shall roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for that's the covenant that God had made with them. I hope you see it. Our time is gone today. Thank you for listening. Until next time, good day.